Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome aboard the Athletic's Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait!
At this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get.
That was Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show this afternoon, just about an hour and a half ago. And that's the news that Jets fans have been waiting, it seems like, months to hear. And that is that Aaron Rodgers plans to play for the New York Jets in 2023. Thanks for joining us on the Can't Wait podcast. Tim McMaster here along with Marissa Dunn and Zach Rosenblatt. We're going to have full reaction to the interview, which really got into everything. Credit to Pat McAfee on this one, because for an hour, I think he hit all the touching points that I would have wanted to get to if I was doing the interview. So it was good stuff. Subscribe to the YouTube page if you're watching us there. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, subscribe there as well. Give us a 5-star review. I guess before we'll get into it step by step, but the first thing I want to ask before we get into all of that is, Zach, at this point, are you okay as a Jets reporter after the last few years?
Nobody's asked me that in a while.
That's why we're here.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you guys didn't want to talk about like golf to start off.
Oh. Wow.
Sorry.
Connor taking shots already.
And can't help myself. I'm doing great. I've been planted on my couch for the last few days. If not for having to walk my dog, I don't know if I would have left my apartment at all. So it's good that, you know, we have a Rodgers decision. It's not done yet. Like, we'll get into all that. I'm sure, you know, it'll be completely smooth and no snags or anything, but, yeah, I'm happy to be here on this podcast. I've been dying to come on and talk about everything, you know, we've been hearing and all our, you know, what we think of all this stuff, because there's just been so much. But we've been really trying to like wait for the news to come, because we knew as soon as we talked, it could be like old news by the time, you know, the news comes out, and then all of a sudden everything we just talked about is old news. So we really were trying to, I mean, tradition would have been we schedule it and then it would have happened after that. So maybe it was our fault for not doing that.
But we've been intending to do a pod since Monday morning.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. We've been planning like, okay, what time's good for you guys here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm doing okay. I appreciate the question. I know fans have been going even crazier than me. My mentions have been a journey lately. I shouldn't be reading them as much as I am, if I'm being honest. But yeah, I'm happy to be done with this. I'm excited to get Matt Schneidman on, who knows the Packers side. We're going to talk to him after we get into the Jets side a little bit. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers wants to be a New York Jet. That's the biggest takeaway from today. You know, the
just
journey
a little
here.
Takeaway.
Yeah, just a little takeaway. The fact, I mean, if you had said this a year ago, 4 months ago, 2 years ago, like just put any number on that besides the last month, and Jets fans would have not believed it or whatever. Or, I mean, yeah, anyway, we'll get into all the details, but this is a monumental day for the Jets organization. Whether it works out, we'll find out. But Aaron Rodgers, when healthy, is still a top 5 to top 10 quarterback, probably top 5. And the Jets are on their way to getting him, and that's huge.
So a lot of the topics that we kind of had to talk about over the last 3 days when we were putting a rundown together kind of got blown up a little bit because of the interview today and things that Rodgers said. So we'll get into all of that too. But the last couple of weeks, man, it has been quite a journey. And whoever you're watching out there, you know that you've been along for this ride, probably even more than us as diehard Jets fans. And, you know, they had great conversations with Derek Carr, Zach. It looked like, okay, that's if Rodgers doesn't work out, Carr seems like it's going to work out. It'll be a good fit. So here we go. Then Carr decides he doesn't want to wait. He signs elsewhere. So then it's back to almost panic mode at that point. And then Rodgers goes into the darkness and you're not going to hear anything. You hear nothing. He comes back out. the Jets fly out to California. They meet with him. And then that all led up to kind of this week in which you had players burning cheese heads, right? Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall throwing the cheese head on the fire out by the pool there. A connection to this podcast. We had the owner of that cheese head on here earlier this season. And then the legal tampering period begins on Monday. We hear nothing. Tuesday afternoon, we hear nothing. He doesn't go on McAfee. There's the news that he has, though, put out a list to the Jets of players that he would like, even though all reports are that he hasn't actually told the Jets that he's going to be on the team, that he wants to be on the team. And we come to the news last night that he was going to be on McAfee. And then today, just a roller coaster ride. And we'll get into how that impacted all the different parts of this as well. So let's get into the interview. He said early on, and this was the big part that you heard at the top, right? Decided on Friday. So he decided on Friday, but we don't know about it until Wednesday. And by all accounts, the Jets and Packers didn't know about it either. So either Rodgers is lying, or he decided and maybe told a few close friends, but didn't actually tell the teams that are involved in this. It's weird. It's weird. As excited as I'm sure everybody is that he's going to be a Jet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just going to be so complex.
Well, I think Matt Schneidman will be the expert on the weirdness and what we have to look forward to. He did, to his credit, he did a good job of keeping everything close to the vest. Like, stuff didn't get out. Like, there was the whole thing about Schefter, which I'm sure you're going to bring up.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild. But, you know, my impression is that even if he did know on Friday, and again, Matt can cover this a little more. I don't want to step on his toes too much, but my impression is still that he didn't tell the Packers what he wanted to do. Like, he might have told, even if he told the Jets, which I don't know if he did, maybe Hackett figured out, you know, through the grapevine that Rodgers was coming. Like, everything I had heard is that the Jets have been preparing and acting for days now like Rodgers was going to be their quarterback. Like, they were starting the free agent conversations, you know, playbook conversations, all that kind of stuff. They were thinking ahead, not like, are we going to get him? They were very confident. Obviously, at any moment, Rodgers could change his mind and all that stuff. But I think if they didn't know 100%, I think they had a pretty good idea they were going to get him.
And they signed Lazard, right?
Yeah. I mean,
that's a move.
Signed, yeah.
I don't think they made.
Yeah. The whole process, obviously, you know, I think people were getting annoyed and frustrated, both, you know, players and fans and all that stuff. And I think it's understandable because these last few days have felt like weeks just because of everything that's been going on. Everybody just waiting, staring at the clock, staring at Twitter all day, every day. Ultimately, Rodgers knew he wanted to go to the Jets since Friday. I think the most fascinating thing to come out of all of this, honestly, is that he essentially said that he was going to retire. When he came out of the darkness, he was like 90% sure he wanted to retire. And then the way the Packers handled it, you know, pushed him to want to, like, he made him mad. Clearly, he didn't say that those exact words, but clearly made him mad enough that he wants to, like, go out and be like, all right, you created this monster kind of thing. And the Jets are the reward of that, or getting the rewards of that, which they are very happy to accept.
He said there's no victims here so many times that it clearly proved that he feels like a victim.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you keep saying, like, yeah, you keep saying the same thing over and over again, but you mean the opposite kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know, we're about to experience the Rodgers, all the Rodgers and everything that comes with him. But the Jets, to go back to the original thing about Carr, and, you know, they missed out on Jimmy G and all this stuff. The Jets were willing to take the risk of, we're going to put all of our eggs in the Rodgers basket. We're going to wait him out. We think he's worth it, which talent wise, obviously he is. There was a lot of risk there. There was the risk that he takes his time. You miss out on all these guys. And then he's like, you know what? I want to retire. Or, you know what? I want to go back to the Packers. It seems like that wasn't an option. So retire. And if he had done that, the Jets would have been sitting here without a quarterback option. I'd heard, you know, backup plans included anyone from Ryan Tannehill to Matthew Stafford were two names that got thrown around to me. Those aren't as exciting. Those are two guys also on the downswing of their careers, like Rodgers. But I think they're closer to the end talent, like, you know, skill and talent wise than the other because of injuries. And, you know, Stafford had a lot of issues with, like, his elbow. And anyway, so there were contingency plans, but, you know, they were willing to risk missing out on all of them for Rodgers, and it paid off. And, you know, I think a lot of Jets fans assume the worst would happen because this is the Jets. So, and again, I don't know if we should knock on wood or whatever, because the trade hasn't happened yet technically, but you know, the fact that Rodgers said he wants to go to the Jets, in my mind, means he's going to be a Jet. That's not controversial to say. And so we're sitting here, we're getting ready to introduce Rodgers as the Jets quarterback at some point, and hopefully in the near future. I'm sure you want to get in the timeline and all that stuff, but the way it's played out, probably as weird as we could have expected it to. I don't think I ever expected this to go smoothly. As it was going, you know, I kept hearing theories both from in the building, around the league, among reporters. Like, everybody had a different theory about why this was dragging out. There, at a certain point, and I'm sure people who work for the Jets dealt with this even more, but anytime I left my house, anytime I talked to anybody who knows I cover the Jets, they didn't care about how I was doing. They wanted to know, is Aaron Rodgers coming? Is Aaron Rodgers coming? Is Aaron Rodgers coming? So it was always refreshing talking to people who don't care about sports over the last couple of weeks, I would say.
Back to the 90% retired thing. That does bring something to my mind, right? So he goes in and he's thinking, okay, 90% chance I'm done with football. He comes out, and as you said, the Packers in some way or another annoyed him. He was frustrated to some degree. And then he decides, you know what, I want to play football. So, but it makes me wonder, like, is he all in this, or is he playing out of spite towards the Packers? Is it only going to be 1 year because of that? And then he decides to retire after 1 year. I mean, these have to be questions that the Jets are wondering too, right? Like, are we getting I'm sure he said all the right things, but are we getting the Aaron Rodgers who really wants to be a Jet and lead this team to a championship or deep into the playoffs? Or are we getting a guy who's annoyed with the team that he used to be with and was 1.5 feet into retirement 2 weeks ago?
I think that is a very fair question. Whenever somebody's considering retirement and they don't retire, I think it's fair to question stuff like that. But I think however you get your motivation, whatever motivates you, I think it doesn't really matter if you have the motivation to go out there and dominate and prove that you still have something left, which I think Rodgers, for all his talk about how he doesn't listen to what people are saying, and then he, you know, rattles off specific things that people are saying. he's seen the people who think that he's not as good as he used to be, that he's not worth it, that he's a problem, like he's going to make the Jets worse and the Packers shouldn't welcome him back and they should move on. And like he sees all that stuff. It motivates him. And so I'm not worried about him coming and try. Maybe if he came and the offensive line started getting hurt like it did last year and started off slow and it was a disaster, like then maybe you can start wondering how he's going to handle that, especially as a guy, like you said, had 1 foot out the door. But, you know, I'm not worried about that aspect, actually. I think there are other aspects that you can point to that, you know, you can look at as a concern. You know, the distractions that are going to come with Rodgers is absolutely a thing. The idea that, you know, how's he going to handle it if things go wrong or he says something controversial and the media in New York, you know, hounds him for it? Like, how's he going to handle that? Like, all that is fair. But I'm not worried about, like, talent-wise, and I'm not worried about motivation. It's all the other stuff you can talk about, you know, if he's healthy, even if not healthy Aaron Rodgers, and I feel like we've said this, I've at least written it, unhealthy Aaron Rodgers numbers last year are maybe the best season ever for a Jets quarterback, if not like top three. So like he still had 26 touchdowns and like 12 picks or something like that. Like that Jets fans will happily take those numbers. Although I say that now, maybe they wouldn't. Jets fans, you know, they could be a fickle bunch. So I don't know, but Aaron Rodgers not at his best is still going to be the best quarterback the Jets have had. I realize that's not like a high bar to clear, but like last year I think their quarterbacks combined for some, I forget what the number is, I don't have it in front of me, but between Zach Wilson, Mike White, and Joe Flacco, they had less than 20 touchdown passes, I want to say. So this is a good quarterback, and you hope, you know, he's healthy and all that stuff. I'm not worried about motivation, though.
So he said there was no wish list, and that was obviously reported yesterday, a list of players, mostly receivers, that he wanted the Jets to go after, including Odell Beckham Jr. I'm not sure how that works for the salary cap, but and the Jets did sign Lazard, obviously, so they have already brought in a guy he's very comfortable with at the wide receiver position. That's another weird thing, right? Like, for that to be reported and then for him to say no such thing existed, you wonder where a report like that comes from, right? Maybe it was somebody close to him. Maybe he's like has plausible deniability that, you know, he didn't give the Jets a list because he gave the list to someone else who gave the Jets a list. I don't know, but it's another just weird part of that interview where you're like, well, where did that come from then?
Yeah. So I think that's semantics. I think he presented a list of guys that he'd be interested in the Jets getting. He'd like the Jets to get, however you want to phrase it. I don't think it was a demand or anything. But I think it really is semantics. I think there was a list of guys that he told the Jets he'd love to bring for them to bring with him. Did he say, do this or I'm not coming to you? I don't know. But if you look at the guys in the list, there's been a lot of hand wringing about this. Not necessarily from Jets fans, but I've seen a lot of national people hand wringing about, oh, he wants Randall Cobb, Lazard, Mercedes Lewis, Odell Beckham. I mean, let's go through them. Alan Lazard is a solid number two receiver, good run blocker. He'll be, you know, at least as good as Corey Davis, who I assume will be going, if not an upgrade. Randall Cobb, he's going to be the backup slot receiver. He's not going to cost a lot. So I don't think that really impacts anything. Mercedes Lewis, if they bring him in, is the fourth tight end. So, and Odell Beckham is Odell Beckham. Like, it's reasonable for a guy to want Odell Beckham, I think. He's a talented guy. I don't think that'll happen because of the money and, you know, Odell hasn't played in 2 years and all that stuff. But I think he was mad about the listing because of the way it was like presented in the reporting. I don't think it's as big of a deal as people are making it out to be. He's a guy who has some sway. He's a guy who the Jets are doing everything they can to bring him there and be happy. And bringing in three of his friends is not a big deal to me.
Yeah, certainly.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, so we've talked about this a little bit. We want to get Matt Schneidman on. He is our Packers reporter here at The Athletic to talk a little bit more about this. Hey, Matt, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So it's a wild day for you too, but kind of the opposite, right? Like, there's a reason over 500,000 people were watching Pat McAfee today. A lot of it was obviously New Yorkers, but I think there was probably a big chunk of Packers fans as well seeing what would come out of this. We've been talking about the actual interview itself. I want to stay there to start with you because the next thing I wanted to get to from the interview was Nathaniel Hackett, because Rodgers brought that up. He basically said when the Jets hired Hackett to be their offensive coordinator, at that point in the timeline, it didn't mean anything to him. But now that he's heading to New York and when the Jets came to visit him in California as well, it did matter that Hackett was a part of that. So I'd love your take on just how close that relationship is from what you remember when the two were working together in Green Bay.
Yeah, they're very close. And I thought it was interesting that Aaron kind of pushed back on what Pat said about Hackett kind of being there just to draw Aaron to the Jets. And Aaron dropped a curse word. I don't think I'm allowed to do that on here, but he said, you know, that's the one thing I'll take objection to is that Nathaniel Hackett only has this job because of me or because, you know, as a means to get me here. He's a damn good coach. And he is. He was the offensive coordinator here, not the play caller, but the offensive coordinator from 2019 to 2021. Two of those seasons, Aaron Rodgers won the MVP. Rodgers credits a lot of what he did over those couple seasons to Hackett. He was in charge of pretty much diagramming, for lack of a better word, their red zone offense, which was almost unstoppable when he was here compared to, you know, what it was last season. And Rodgers infamously said, I believe it was in the 2020 season, Hackett's first go around with head coaching interviews when he interviewed with the Falcons, Rodgers said, you know, I hope he doesn't go anywhere. but if he does, he said something like, I hope he doesn't go anywhere unless I do. So basically saying he wants to be coached by Nathaniel Hackett. And now here we are again. You know, there were rumblings that that's why the Broncos hired Hackett to get Aaron Rodgers. That never happened. I don't know if that's true or not at this stage, but I truly do believe that, you know, not just from what Rodgers is saying, but from what I've heard, that the Jets hired Hackett off of merit alone, and they just so happened to get Rodgers. Sure, it doesn't hurt that he was there to try and help draw Rodgers, but I'm not going to sit here and say the sole reason they hired him was with Aaron Rodgers being their quarterback in mind.
Sorry, I just muted myself. But Rodgers, it's been a while since we podcasted. It was fascinating to me that Rodgers pretty much said, like, the number one reason was Hackett, though. Like, that's not the thing, like, players usually admit. You know, he, like, brought it up out of the blue himself, too. I don't even remember if that was, like, posed to him as a question. I think he was talking about the reasons why. And he said, at the end of the day, there's a coach there that I have a close relationship with. And so that was very interesting to me. And I think a lot of people jumped on it, like McAfee did with his fair follow-up question, I think. And then Rodgers, like, Pat, he was like more, he even said, he's like, the only thing that's offended me today, which, you know, I don't know if that's true, but he was most passionate about that. He's like, the only thing that's offended me is anybody suggesting that. And I think that resonated with some people in the Jets building, honestly. And I think it's going to gain Hackett quite a bit of respect in Florham Park for a lot of people who don't really know him in that building. I don't know if there's anybody that he's even coached on that team before. I can't remember at this point. I don't think so, though. And so, you know, they're revamping this offense. There's a new coach in there. I think a lot of the players were not very happy with, you know, Michael Flores. We've talked about on here in the story I wrote. There were a lot of guys who kind of soured on him personality wise and his tendencies. And by all accounts, you know, Matt has talked about this himself, and everybody loves playing for Nathaniel Hackett at the very least. Like, he's lauded for his teaching and his ability to get along with people and stuff like that. So outside of the Rodgers stuff, I think that's a very positive development to come out of this, that he gave that, like, that strong of an endorsement for a coach. And I think that's resonating in with the Jets.
Yeah. And one thing I'll add is it's not just Rodgers. I mean, I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite stories to write, but what Nathaniel Hackett did here in Green Bay is he's a big Austin Powers fan. And so he renamed the red zone the gold zone. So they would do this Austin Powers gold member inspired celebration whenever they would score a touchdown. And I wrote a whole story about that. And basically the story is filled with quotes like, listen, it's cliche. It may be seen as corny, but Nathaniel Hackett makes you want to come to work every day. He's not only really smart football mind, but he makes you enjoy coming to work. You know, Devontae Adams said that. And I'll add this, one of, you know, the guys who likes Nathaniel Hackett the most is Alan Lazard. Lazard was an undrafted free agent in Jacksonville when Hackett was the offensive coordinator there, played for him in Green Bay, now is set to play for him in New York. And another player who played for Hackett in Jacksonville, Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes Lewis actually caught a touchdown in the AFC Championship game the year they played the Patriots with Blake Bortles as QB when Hackett was the offensive coordinator there. So Mercedes Lewis and Alan Lazard are both huge fans of Nathaniel Hackett. So, and along with Aaron Rodgers, obviously that's the headliner here. I'm not, because Randall Cobb came back here in 2021. So he had 1 year under Hackett. I'm just naming all the Packers that are going to be that team. Jamal Williams played for Nathaniel Hackett too.
There you go.
So yeah, he's definitely a player favorite, and it seems really genuine with him. One of the nicest guys I've encountered in this business, and not just in front of a microphone, you know, conversations we've had even at the combine after he left the Packers. So I think people who cover the Jets and Jets fans and the players there who haven't experienced him yet will definitely like him.
Well, that's good to hear, because the reaction to his initial hiring was less than positive here in New York. So I'm sure you've made some people happy with those comments. So there's been rumblings here, Matt, coming out of the Jets locker room that some players have been frustrated over the last couple of days by the way this has kind of gone and how it's just kind of dragged and all of that. So I don't know how today's interview, I'm sure they were all watching, will impact their thoughts, but there's a definite possibility here. I think that Rodgers has to win some people over, maybe not from I'm a Hall of Fame quarterback standpoint, but from a, hey, I'm a great leader and guy that you're going to want to go to war with type thing. So he's always been that in Green Bay. How easily can Aaron Rodgers do that in a new locker room, do you think? Does he have that personality that he can come in and after, you know, a few training, a few practices, everybody's on board and ready to go?
I think it's easy. You know, I know so much is out there about, you know, how terrible of a teammate he is and all that stuff. And the likes of Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley have come out over the years and said their piece. But listen, I've written a number of stories for anyone who has read, you know, probably not many listeners of this show, and understandably so. But, you know, I've written numerous things over my 4 years covering him about kind of what he does to relate to those younger teammates. He's 39 years old now. And I remember, I believe it was after roster cutdown day in or roster cutdown weekend in 2017. I wasn't covering the team yet, but Lucas Patrick was a offensive versatile offensive lineman on the team who had spent the entire 2016 season on the practice squad. Didn't know if he was going to make the team out of the 2017 season or 2017 training camp. He wasn't even an undrafted free agent signing. He was a tryout player out of Duke in 2016. Then in 2017 on roster cutdown day, he's driving out of the players' parking lot in Lambeau Field with his mom. There's a knock on the window of his mom's car on his mom's side, and it's Aaron Rodgers, and his mom rolls the window down. Lucas Patrick, quite frankly, if I remember the way he told the story, this was back in 2019 when I wrote this. He didn't know Aaron Rodgers knew who he was. So he rolls down the window, tells Lucas, his mom, you know, love your son, love what he does. Hope he sticks around. I'm paraphrasing there, but, and Lucas Patrick went on to not only make the team that year, but become a starter for the Packers after being just a tryout signing. And now he's a starter pretty much for the Chicago Bears, signed a nice free agent deal with them a couple of years ago. You know, there were times where Rodgers will seek out Romeo Dobbs, their now second year receiver, to get to know him. Rodgers last year would just sit down by himself at a table in the cafeteria, almost as a test to see which young guys would come up to him and seek him out for conversation. And Devontae Wyatt, the Packers' first round pick last year, the D lineman out of Georgia, would sit down with Rodgers and get to know him just to, you know, so it's not like Rodgers is going to walk in there and be like, bow down to me, Garrett Wilson, bow down to me, Breece Hall. You know, if you really get in that locker room every day, like I have been for the past 4 years, you hear all these stories about the kind of guy he is. You know, Keyshawn Nixon, their first team all-pro kick returner this year in his first year with the Packers, is kind of a quiet in his shell type of guy. Aaron Rodgers went up to him one day and just gave him a hug. And Keyshawn Nixon was like, get off me. What are you doing? And then he finally was like, you know what? I got a hug from Aaron Rodgers. It made me feel like I belong. It brought me out of my shell. Then he went on to be a first team all-pro kick returner. I don't know how much direct correlation there is there, but my point is, I don't think there will be a problem assimilating to a new locker room. It may take some time, especially after being somewhere for 18 years, but the notion that they're frustrated, annoyed with how this is dragged out, I don't know. I know, Zach, you reported that. I don't know if that's at Rodgers, at the process itself, but like I responded, they won't be frustrated when they see him throw a football compared to, you know, what they've had there during their time. And I think from a personality locker room standpoint, either whatever frustrations or irks they have right now will subside pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Jets fans were kind of just ready to get mad at anything for a couple of days there, but
mostly you though, Zach.
Yeah, mostly they were more mad at Connor, I would say. I should have specifically said what they're frustrated. I said the process in the tweet, but people were still mad about it. But yeah, it was more about how the process is being dragged out. Like the sentiment was like, we just want to know already, man. that's all it was. Everybody's excited that Aaron Rodgers is going to be their quarterback. Like, I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think there's anybody in there that has like a history with him even. So there's nobody that could be like, I didn't like him when I played with him or anything like that. They're a young team. I am curious to see how Joe Flacco often joked about how this team made him feel younger. And I'm curious to see how Rodgers, you know, likes a locker room that's full of these very young guys with, you know, big Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. Like, these dudes have like big personalities. They're very like mature and like funny guys, but I'm curious to see how Rodgers like adapts to that locker room, because it's different than what it looked like in Green Bay. I'm fascinated by that. Before we let you go, Matt, I'm curious what your thoughts were on all the timeline stuff. I know there's been some reporting. I think Albert Breer said it wasn't really reporting. He like pointed out that the option does, you don't need to exercise it till the beginning of September, so the Packers can take their time. I don't think it's going to take that long, personally.
Right.
My guess would be the end of this week. That's me guessing. I haven't anybody tell me that or anything. Like I said, the Jets are operating like they already have them. So I don't know. What do you make of like when this might go down?
Yeah, well, it was the first Thursday of March Madness at about 8 p.m. last year when they suddenly traded Devontae Adams. So I would expect tomorrow night, probably.
There you go.
No, but in all seriousness, listen, if the Packers wait until after June 1st, they can split the dead cap hit that they'll take on by trading him over 2 years. But then they don't get, you know, compensation for this year's draft. And I would imagine they want as much of that as possible to build around Jordan Love and give him as much as he needs to win right away. So I would not expect this to drag on certainly past June 1st. The Packers don't have to do that financially. Sure, it would benefit them financially, but I don't see them doing that. I would expect sometime soon. I mean, this is going to happen. It's just a formality at this point. Could the Packers say, you know what? You're not giving us what we want, Joe Douglas. And Brian Gutekunst says, we're going to keep him until you do and drag this on for as long as possible. Sure, but that's not going to happen, I don't think. I don't know if the Packers lost leverage here because Aaron Rodgers says he wants to play for the Jets and Joe Douglas can say, well, he's going to play for us. And Brian Gutekunst can just say he's under contract with us for a couple more years. I don't have to give him to you. So I don't think the Packers lost leverage, but it's just a matter of them finding that sweet spot of what a deal will be. And I imagine that would be maybe some concessions by both sides to meet in the middle.
Yeah, and the whole idea that the Packers are tired of the antics or whatever like that, if that's true, and maybe it is, I can't imagine they're going to want him hanging around, flailing about, going up at McAfee and you know, pressuring them more and making them look worse right. And stuff like that. Like
exactly.
It's like you said, it's best for both teams' ability to go about in their offseason to get a trade done. Now, the Packers might be like, we want 2 first-round picks, and the Jets might be like, there's no way in hell we're giving you 2 first-round picks. Like, so I'm more curious about the compensation than the timeline is my thing. Like, at the start of this, I was convinced it was going to be at least a 1st-round pick, maybe multiple. As it's progressed, I'm less sure that they have to give up a first, but maybe it winds up just being that first this year, maybe like some sort of conditional thing that he plays next year. Like, that's the next step of this. Who's in the trade? They haven't cut Corey Davis yet. They need that cap space. So I wonder if he's in the trade. If they really are signing all those receivers, I do wonder where Denzel Mims fits in for the Jets. You know, they have some other guys they could either cut or just ship to the Packers if the Packers are interested. So I'm very interested to see how this trade takes shapes and what those negotiations are like. The fact that the Jets have started, you know, agreeing to sign Alan Lazard, talking to Jamal Williams, trying to sign Jake Brendel from the 49ers, maybe trying to sign Randall Cobb and Lewis and all his buddies. And so the fact that they're like going forward with that stuff, maybe a framework wasn't agreed to yet. Like that's been the phrasing a lot, but I think both teams have a pretty good idea of how this is going to go already.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also, and this is the last thing I'll say, I'm also interested in maybe what the Packers would get back beyond just draft picks. I know Matt LaFleur is high on Corey Davis because he was his offensive coordinator in Tennessee in 2018 when Davis had a good year. So we'll see in terms of who goes back to the Packers. Could it be Elijah Moore? Could it be Corey Davis? Could it be Denzel Mims? We'll see. But yeah, I think this thing should reach the finish line sooner rather than later, because I agree with you, Zach. I don't think the Packers are obviously ready to move on. They don't need, like you said, Aaron Rodgers hanging around when everyone knows he's not going to be the quarterback of this team anymore. So we'll see.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt, for coming on. We appreciate it. And good luck with the Jordan Love era in Green Bay. Oh,
yeah. I'll need all the luck I can get. Appreciate you all for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Right,
thanks.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
All right, that was Matt Schneidman. He is our Green Bay Packers reporter here at The Athletic. Does an awesome job. Also, host Head of the Pack, our yes. Packers podcast. If anybody watching this show wants the latest on the Packers news now that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be one of them, check that out as well. All right, Zach, I think we can get to a couple other things here. You talked a little bit about the trade. It's interesting that there were reports that kind of the things were in place, and then Schefter was reporting today that there was still a long way to go before this thing could be finalized. Then listening to Rodgers, I mean, he kind of put it out there that maybe the Packers are asking for too much. I don't know, in his opinion. I mean, if you read between the lines, I think he kind of said that, you know, I'd already be a Jet if the Packers weren't kind of digging in on the return package. So it is interesting to see. You just mentioned some names too. Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore was super frustrated last season catching passes from Zach Wilson. Obviously, you know, got sent home, missed games, all of that. Also was frustrated with LaFleur as part of that. Now there's an opportunity that he could be catching passes from a Hall of Famer, or he could be traded to basically not catch passes from a rookie, but a first-year quarterback again. I mean, if I was Elijah Moore right now, I'd be rebuilding every bridge I could in that building.
Yeah, it's he's the most interesting one out of this, because I think obviously Garrett Wilson is going to get a lot of the targets. Alan Lazard, assuming that works out, which, you know, it hasn't been official yet or anything. He's Aaron Rodgers' favorite target, not named Davante Adams, from maybe his career, or at least in the last like 10 years. I think I saw a stat that they have the third highest percentage of receptions that turn to touchdowns, like as a quarterback wide receiver duo. They're third behind Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, and there's another elite duo. Maybe it was Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Like, they're third behind them. So he's going to target Alan Lazard a lot. They have two tight ends. Rodgers likes targeting tight ends. If Randall Cobb's there, that's his buddy. You know, maybe they add another receiver in the draft or something like that. So Moore is an interesting one. I don't think he'll be in the trade. I think the Jets really are very high in him, but you know, you do have to think about how's he going to handle it if he's not getting a lot of touches, because that is a lot of names we just rattled off. If they do want to get Beckham, if they can get Beckham, then maybe if they feel like they're going to get Beckham, then maybe that's when Moore would be in the trade or in another trade or something like that. Ugh. My immune system is shot from just staring at my phone for the last week. But yeah, I'm curious to see how he handles it. I mean, he requested a trade while they were winning, so I can't say like winning cures all things, because who knows if you would do that again.
Targets cure all things.
I think. Targets. So that is a interesting one to keep in mind.
All right. Thank you for everybody who's been with us here throughout the show. We are a lot of people. We're not at McAfee numbers, but a lot of people watching. So Marissa,
we're just there. Just
there. times divided by 1,000 or something like that. But Marissa, what's going on in the chat though? It's active. I can see that.
A lot of good questions. And this one actually I wanted to ask you, Zach. So I'm gonna start with this one. What's Zach Wilson's mindset supposed to be during all of this? And what is next for Zach Wilson?
Oh man. I was actually curious to see if McAfee would ask Aaron about Zach, because they've talked about like their relationship on the show before.
Yeah, when back to joint practices, like that was their connection was like something Zach Wilson really looked
like
up
his hero.
Right?
Yeah. So that is a fascinating part of this. I mean, his mindset during all of this. Everybody, including his teammates, coach, GM, owner, have all basically, you know, they say the right things and they're asked directly about Zach, but they've basically admitted that, like, all right, we don't believe in him as a starter anymore. They said we need a veteran quarterback. Woody Johnson said that on ESPN. His teammates have been openly recruiting Aaron Rodgers. So I can't imagine he's very thrilled, but you hope that this is motivation for the kid. I mean, I don't see a future where he's the Jets starting quarterback unless, you know, he really takes this to heart and he comes to training camp this year and you look at Zach Wilson, you're like, holy crap, he looks really good. And then all of a sudden they have a young developmental number two quarterback and they can go into next year, the year after, whenever Rodgers retires and maybe he's their guy. But I don't see that happening. I think his future is with another team. I don't know if that'll be this year. But yeah, it's always going to be a lingering thing because they're in this position where they had to go all in on Aaron Rodgers, which maybe a team would have anyway because he's Aaron Rodgers. But they're in this position because they failed with Zach Wilson. He wasn't good enough. If they make the playoffs with Zach Wilson last year, even not playing well, maybe we're still not in this position. But he was the thing that kind of held them back. And so now we're here, and he's kind of an afterthought, which is crazy to think about for a guy who drafted 2 years ago. But yeah, how he handles this, how he talks about it, you know, he hasn't made a sound on social media. You haven't heard anything coming out of his camp. They've been pretty silent. I imagine his family is fuming through all this process, but the reality is he didn't do his job, and now they've moved on with somebody else. And now the question becomes, do they draft a quarterback to develop if they don't believe in Zach? Maybe they should. Aaron Rodgers is 39 years old. Or do they sign a veteran to compete with Zach to be the number two? Do they trust Zach to be the number two if Rodgers doesn't play all 17 games? Like, these are all questions they're going to have to answer. And that's going to be, you know, one of the more fascinating storylines the rest of the offseason.
That's a good point. I'm just going to follow up real quick, Marissa. I'm sorry. Okay. The good point with the draft, because if they draft a quarterback, even if it's in the fifth round, I feel like the writing's on the wall there. And then you wonder who the backup is, like you said. Like, that's the other big thing is when the season starts.
Should
with
say
a 39-year-old.
There's the Jets news. It's not Rodgers related.
Yeah,
but
I was just going to.
Sheldon Rankins is signing with the Texans 1 year, $10.5 million. It's pretty good money for him. It's a big loss for the Jets. He's a team leader. They already lost Nathan Shepard today to this. We'll get into all the free agent stuff later in the week. But defensive tackle is maybe their biggest need now that they've addressed quarterback, I would say, and center. Would be the top two that they need to explore. So something to keep in mind. But yeah, back to Rodgers. Just figured I would tell everybody that.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to chime in with. Mike Garofolo from NFL Network had the report on that one. So we will have a full Rodgers is not the only member of the team. So we will have a full free agency recap either later this week or early next week. But you mentioned defensive tackle, but we do have some questions about the O-line.
Yeah.
Now we know we have a fairly immobile quarterback behind center for 2023. What needs to happen to this offensive line?
I've been getting that question a lot, or comments about the O-line a lot. What I would say is, and I think it's something that, you know, whether you like this or agree with it or not, the Jets are higher on their offensive line than the fan base is what I would say. I think they really think it was bad luck last year. You know, no team is going to survive six offensive tackles being on injured reserve, including your best one, Elijah Vera Tucker. They believe Dwayne Brown, when he heals up, can still be a good left tackle. They believe Laken Tomlinson will be better in year two. They believe Elijah Vera Tucker is a star. And then, you know, they need to get a center. They tried signing Jake Brendel. I reported that they offered him more money, but he chose to go back to San Francisco where he's more comfortable. So they missed out on like a potential like veteran center guy. I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted a center. Seems like they've probably moved on from Connor McGovern. Not 100% sure about that because the market's been a little lower than expected. And then right tackle, it's Mekhi, Max Mitchell, or maybe they draft somebody. So, you know, center and right tackle would be the biggest question marks. But I think the Jets believe their offensive line is better than everybody else does.
So this question comes from Javid. If they do trade Elijah and cut Corey Davis, do you entertain the idea of a wide receiver at 13? And then he puts, if we find a center in free agency.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all about value and how they view these guys. Cause if you get to the draft in that situation that he puts out happens, like, do you view this wide receiver as a star? Cause that's the only time wide receivers you generally, I don't think, should draft very early because there's so many of them and you can get a really good one in the second round and the third round and all that stuff. But if it's a guy that you're like, we can have two Garrett Wilsons or something like that, then you consider it. But they have other needs to address. I think Joe Douglas, they have a roster that's good enough now that I really think to a degree they can go the way the Eagles draft, which is value. You look at it's positional value and, you know, value of like the player and how good he is, and not as much looking at your depth chart and saying, okay, this is what we need. I think they should take the best player available. I know it's easier said than done, but ultimately if one of those, there's three offensive tackles that are considered like the best, Paris Johnson, Peter Skoronski, and Broderick Jones. I think if one of them are at 13, it'd be hard to pass that up. The safety from Alabama that Dane came on and talked about, I think would be interesting.
They still have 13 after?
Yeah, that's also the right. Biggest question. So this might be a moot point ultimately. But yeah, so I wouldn't rule out a receiver, but I'd be surprised if they picked one at 13. Maybe if they traded back or something like that.
I feel like they're going to have this 13, right? Even if they are forced to give up first rounders. Feels like it won't be this draft. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I'm not sure
they're going to have to give up a first, but I don't know. I've gone back and forth on that throughout the process. I thought they would, but it's very interesting now that both teams know what Aaron wants and how that impacts leverage or whatever. It maybe
the leverage definitely swings at this point, right? It feels like his age, you know, the fact that he has to go the interview today, I think it all actually helps out the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so, but, you know, the Packers also know that the Jets have no other choice or, you know, option. So
they'll just text pictures of Zach Wilson to Joe Douglas. Give us a first rounder or this. all right. What have we made? Anything else, Marissa, or should we close it up?
I mean, there's a lot more questions, I think, going forward that we're going to have to wait to find out answers to. Obviously, the details of this trade, more stuff from free agency when things become official. But I think this pretty much sums up the Aaron Rodgers intending to come to New York podcast.
Isn't that an annoying asterisk? It's not like Aaron Rodgers is coming to the Jets. We have to keep saying like plans to.
What's like with free agents in this before free agency? Well, it actually starts shortly after we get off the air.
Yeah, 4 p.m. It's still free agency.
So I'm sure there'll be some a bunch of news that we like, oh crap, we could have talked about that. But
right.
I lost my train of thought. Sorry, my brain is mush right now.
We will have plenty of podcasts throughout the spring, and this only, I feel like, increases.
This is the beginning, especially when the trade becomes official. Like, we'll have to address that, obviously, too. So,
yeah, unless it's in like 10 minutes, then we probably will wait.
Sorry, guys.
Until tomorrow. Or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But Friday? Back Friday to put a full recap on this week as a whole, a little less Aaron Rodgers, a little more the rest of the things that happened during free agency week.
Until the trade happened that day, and then we only talk about Aaron Rodgers again. But we'll do our best to cover all of free agency.
We will. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone who has joined us. If you're doing it live on YouTube or if you're catching us after the fact, wherever that is, Apple, Spotify, again, leave us a review, 5 stars, or don't leave us a review if you feel like leaving less. And tell your friends and subscribe, and we'll talk to everybody soon, probably at some point on Friday. Thanks for joining the Can't Wait podcast. You can join The Athletic for just $1.99 a month for 12 months. If you are a new subscriber, go to theathletic.com/can't wait. Talk to everybody.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.